right, so let's go on to item 12, miscellaneous staff report. So Gail, do we have any staff reports today? You're on mute.
Thank you. I just wanted to mention that staff, as indicated earlier, working very hard on the Sagitech project, as well as working hard on processing retirement applications. I appreciate their dedication and commitment to CICERA's members, and they will also be included in the discussion around what we can improve in the future, so that we can further, you know, look at these turnaround times and make sure that they are reduced. So I did want to mention that. That's all I had.
Okay, thank you, Gail.
Gail, well, we talked about the possibility of partial checks in a much more timely manner. I know it is much cleaner to have things right from the start be correct with respect to the payments. But is that possible, or should we discuss that, or what would it entail? Is it more of a headache than, would it do more harm than good, or is it a viable partial solution to give people something sooner?
It has been something that we've internally discussed and looked at, and it's something that we are programming into Sagitech. But even prior to Sagitech, we look to see if it's something that we can implement now. Our current CPAS system is not set up for that type of processing. So a lot of it would have to go outside of the system. And then we'd also have to do a lot of checks and balances and, you know, a lot of cleanup and a lot of additional things added to the system. There's a lot of things around this. It is something that we have taken a look at over the last few months in particular to see if that's something, you know, that's viable. So, you know, at least maybe they're not getting their full first check, but at least we're providing some sort of payment to them. It's in looking at it further, it wasn't something that we felt would be really effective at this time with the run that we're working on, but it is something that we're definitely going to be looking at in the future.
Rusty, you had your hand up, and then Louis. Lost you.
Thanks, Chair. I'm here now. Just a quick question, Gail, kind of relating to the public comment made earlier this morning. Obviously, this has been a record-setting year for number of applicants retiring. I'm just curious what we have done to track these applications, especially as they get later and later in the process and haven't been addressed yet. Are we communicating somehow to the applicant that we haven't forgotten you, you're still important to us, but because of these reasons, we're running late, but we'll be getting back to you. Is that happening?
I think I would say that's not currently happening on a universal basis, but it is something, because we are still working on March retirements right now. I mean, I think in the next few weeks, we're looking at getting the rest of those wrapped up, okay. But it's something that we will look at.
Yeah, it's a first come, first serve thing, right? First in, first out. When it comes to applicants or applications, is that how they're normally handled?
Typically, okay. Yeah. Yeah, it's just when you have so many, right. You know, for March, we're working on March. March is taking precedent over April or May retirements right now. So.
Gotcha. And do we have something on the web or just as a general communication out there to let members know that because of the experience we're having right now, due to that, you know, we are running a little late and we appreciate your patience. And do we have something like that already?
Yeah. There is a pop-up on our website. We've had that in place for the last few months to let them know. And I may have mentioned it before, but it's something our sister systems are seeing too. They're seeing a lot of applications for whatever reason.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But we do have that on the website.
All right. Thank you. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you. Louis and then Mike.
Hey, Gail, I understand that we had a supervisor retire, so there's only one supervisor doing finals. Is it possible to reallocate your staff and put a benefits counselor to help with the finals of reviewing them and to get them through faster so people could get their options and get it on, get them online quicker instead of just having one person doing it. I mean, I think it'd be fast if we can do that, even if they don't have to, they don't have to review their own. The other manager could review their own finals, but the other people's finals to get it done. It's all about checking the math.
Yeah, right. Right now, we don't just have one person working on the finals. We don't, and we have had we've made a number of adjustments when it comes to certain tasks and having certain people handle those so that the counselors don't have to, and also kind of modifying what some of the counselors are doing so that they can fully focus on applications. We've approved a great deal of overtime. We do have a teleworking program in place, which has also been helpful with us. And so we don't, just to make it clear, we don't just have one person working on finals right now.
No, I mean on the review of the finals. You have a supervisor that reviews the finals that the counselors do.
Right.
Is they able to move another counselor over there to help review those finals?
Yeah, we have more than one person reviewing finals.
Okay, because I was told it was only one a couple of months ago, and I just want to make sure that we're dealing with it.
Yeah, no, it's my understanding that's not the case currently.
All right, Mike, you had your hand up.
Yeah, Gail, my question is, have we been notifying the people as they retire that this is a possibility? I know for me, it would have been a hardship to go 90 days without any income. And some people, you know, are a lot worse shape than I was when I retired. So 90 days without any kind of money coming in can really be, you know, yeah, if you don't plan for that, you're going to be in a real bad situation.
Yeah, so there is verbal acknowledgement with members on that, as well as on the retirement checklist that they receive. It does say 10 to 12 weeks. And we have been telling members that it, because of the number of applications, it is taking longer. So they are, you know, they have been getting that notification.
All right, thank you. Any other questions or comments for Gail on her staff report? Louis?
Just a quick one. Is it possible, I'd just like to see a timeline of just a piece of paper just saying, okay, a person turns in their application, how long it takes, because if I turn my application in on the 31st of March, you have the final paycheck comes out the 10th, the retirement system, how long it takes to get, say, from the county to the retirement system to get that final paycheck and compensation, to where once the retirement system gets it to look at it and say, okay, to process it and to get those options out. Because even given an extra 2 weeks after the 10th to do it, you're looking at, if I go to 31st, you're looking at, say, I'll even give you a month, and it's taken 4 or 5 months or 3 or 4 months to get out. I think we can streamline that process a little faster.
Yeah, and I, if that's something that you would like to see or the board would like to see, we can definitely provide a timeline of kind of the processing that happens. And there's been a couple of retirement processing kind of info sessions we've had with the board. We can definitely do that again. One of the things is that, you know, the county does process payroll on a monthly basis. Not all employers do that, but the county does. And so depending on the retirement date of someone, that could potentially delay it, as well as the county needs a healthy amount of time to get the info to us as well. So part of it is on when we get the information from the employer. Obviously, that's not the only piece in this, but we can definitely provide that timeline to the board.
Yeah, because, so I mean, we got people now going over 5 months, I would think, of getting their first check. They retire March 31st. That's 5 months. before September 1st, say.
Right. I don't know that we're going to have anyone at 5 months, but yeah, it's definitely lengthier than what it needs to be and what it should be.
Mm-hmm. Dennis, you had your hand up.
Yeah, thank you. I'm just assuming that many of those issues and delays are due to a lot of vacancies, right? I just wanted to ask, I mean, where are we in the process of hiring for those vacancies? Are we successful? Because I'm just thinking maybe if we're not successful, we need to do something like maybe re-evaluate salaries or something like that.
So we have successfully promoted some staff internally into some different council roles. There's been some different shifting of staff that we've done. We have had some good recruitments going on for some of the vacancies that we've had. We're not fully staffed in the council area, but we're getting pretty close to that. And it's something that we're looking at in the future to see what's appropriate staffing and, you know, taking into consideration there is a pretty long timeline for getting folks up and running and really, you know, really, really competent in their roles and, you know, taking the ball and rolling it with it. There is a lengthier timeline there. So keeping that in mind, you know, are there some areas that maybe we need to possibly have our staff to keep that in mind? So we are looking at all of these different options at this time.
Yeah, one of the discussion items that we've had was, Dennis, you know, in terms of a large increase in applications is to throw more staff at it, right? To potentially spot hire and or hire for a particular period to sort of meet the moment. Hate to use that phrase, but essentially that's what you'd be doing. But the problem is within the marketplace is the qualification necessary to step in on day one or closely or shortly thereafter and be able to do that work. And that's a significant barrier to that approach. So that, you know, if you had an increase in 10,000 applications, you'd like to think you'd be able to staff up and meet that tsunami. But the problem is the lack of qualified folks in the marketplace. And I hear this from a lot of sectors. Insurance companies are constantly bemoaning that they can't put people in chairs, right? So to have trained, qualified people in chairs to do the work. So we're suffering from that as well. We've had that discussion internally about what to do. And that's a barrier to that particular solution, even though I really like the idea.
And isn't we also using an older system? So I'm just thinking, how prevalent, how many people out there who know even how to use our system, our retirement, software?
There are other systems that are utilizing the system, not the version that we're necessarily running on, but yeah, that's definitely a point. And to your other comment, I would say that in some positions, we have been pretty successful in recruiting, and in other positions, it's definitely been a challenge. And we are looking at, you know, what does that look like? Do we need to adjust certain things? And if that is determined, then, you know, and some board action needs to take place, that's something that we would bring back to the board.
Thank you.
All right. Jerry, you had your hand up.
Yeah, I think we've talked a little bit and want to reemphasize, not an excuse, but it's the learning curve. It's kind of like thinking you could hire an air traffic controller and the following day have them landing planes. And the likelihood is we don't want to see that. So we're concerned about the learning curve. I know Gail is too. Hiring qualified individuals doesn't mean they necessarily can hit the ground running. But some of the other things we also have talked about, and I'm sure she's going to take into consideration, this is not to suggest that the applicant is largely responsible for the delays, because that is not true. But there are some instances in which delays and we're led to believe delays in getting information that would precipitate and lead to a finalization of that check are actually in the hands of the applicant. So we think it'd also be a good idea to try and make sure that especially in counseling sessions, pre-retirement counseling sessions, people know what they need to have, they need to know what they're going to be asked for, and they need to be encouraged to make sure they get that stuff to Cicero on time. Again, that is not the the majority of the reasons for the delay, but it's just another friction point that it seems to me that we ought to try and address, make sure they know what they need to do in advance.
Yeah, it's a good point. Rusty.
Yeah, just another question here, Gail. Is there room for cross-training? So in the event, again, you are short on staff in areas that are critical, like right now, others can backfill temporarily. So you're not having to hire people that you only need seasonally and are only busy seasonally. But you know, in the event, we always know that this time of year, March, there's a surge in applications. So you don't need to hire five people to handle those year-round for just that few, a small moment in the year. So are there others that could backfill because they're cross-trained and ready to go and hit the ground?
Possibly. That's something that we're going to take a look at for the future, because we don't want to necessarily have the same situation happen again in the future and caught off guard. And like you said, we know we get a lot of March retirements anyway. It's something that we should be able to plan for, but it's something that we're going to take a look at.
Awesome.
All right. Any other comments or questions on staff reports? Oh, I'm not seeing any. We don't have any outside professionals on, as far as I can tell. So let's move to trustee comments.
Yeah, I would like to say that me, Louie, and Mike attended the SACRS Modern Investment Theory and Practice for Retirement Systems program just recently, and it was outstanding. Great education. And it was one of those sessions where you get towards the end of the afternoon, and it's like, wow, the day went by so quick. A lot of rich content. And it was great to be there with Mike and Louie to kind of go over and discuss what we had learned during the course of the day and so forth. So I would encourage for next year, this is a program that all of our trustees could get something out of, regardless of experience. There were fund managers present who were very engaged in the discussion. And so something that Jay could get something out of, and Samson and so forth. And then those of us who don't have as much background in investing. So great program. I hope that we get more attendees next year, and I'll remind you when it comes up.
All right. Thank you, David. Mike.
I just want to reiterate what David said, but I was blown away, just really, really impressed with the program that they put on. I've been to Pepperdine, been to UCLA's presentations. This was by far, it seemed the most meaningful to me, starting out on Sunday, that we were there with the most basics. I started with, what is a pension? A definition of cash flow, just from the very basics. And then daily, they started working up and expanding to the more complicated aspects of pension investing. The instructors were phenomenal. I take it back. The last one, I wasn't really that excited about. We had a group get together, and I'm not really into the touchy-feely sessions, but other than that, they were absolutely wonderful. I mean, we had people that got up and walked out because they didn't want to get involved in that. So I just really didn't see the purpose in that one. But for the most part, I wish I'd had it 3 years ago. It's great, and highly recommend it to everybody.
Excellent. Thank you, Mike. Louis, had your hand up.
Echo what they said, especially like what Mike said. I mean, this is for basic brand new trustees and for seasoned trustees, especially on that Sunday. It goes right back to basics and works its way up. So when you're there Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, you understand everything they're talking about. So it's a great program. That's the second time I've been there. And every year the program changes. So don't think if you go 1 year, that's all you got to do. I mean, they do different things every year. So, I mean, it could be if you want to go every year and learn everything. I mean, it's a good program.
This is the one at Berkeley?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Got it.
Yeah, I think this was the best one I've been to. They had a great session on ESG. And, you know, the more I learn about ESG, the more I see it as a conservative move. I mean, it's taken superficially as a feel-good investment, but if you really follow ESG or if a company follows that, then they're hitting on all points, which reduces liability and improves efficiency of their business model. So that was a great session. And then on crypto assets, there was a great discussion on that. And Scott Whalen did a great job in preparing us for that, actually. So when that talk came up, just reflecting back on what Scott had said. And Scott was there at the conference. So we could sit down and talk to Scott like, hey, you know, the info you gave us before, this really, you know, prepared us well for this talk. So just very, very productive.
Yeah, it is interesting. I was at a gathering last night and the subject of blockchain came up. And I was one of the few people who purported to understand it, at least superficially, understanding what blockchain is and what mining is. So, you know, his past education efforts, I thought that was a really well done session and provided some fundamental building blocks to at least be conversant in the subject, right, to understand it. So very helpful.
Yeah, there was at least one other issue that is going to come up that's going to affect us in the future. And we're probably going to be seeing the pension naysayers come out of the woodwork. But I guess GASPY, I think this has been mentioned before, but there's something called LDROM, LDROM, which is Low Default Risk Obligation Measure, which means that we're going to have to start measuring our unfunded liabilities compared to treasuries and bonds, as opposed to the way we do it now, which is going to expand and make it look like our unfunded liability is much greater than it is at this point. So it's something that's going to come up, and I can just see it coming out. The newspaper people that are anti-pension are going to be hitting us all over again. So it was something that I thought was really important to learn.
Well, we'll let them start with CalPERS, and then they can work their way down to us. Any other comments from trustees? On that,
yeah, it's not clear why that actually came up and why we're going to be forced to report it. It just doesn't seem like a productive discussion, except for the fact that at your most conservative level of investment, what would you expect, and how would that impact your unfunded liability? So, but I think we have answers for that, and I think Tim and can respond to that well, and also Siegel and Barris. So I think we'll have some help with that.
I think we actually know what our risk-based analysis is with respect to our unfunded liabilities. In other words, when we have our quarterly reports from Barris, we have a substantial risk-based discussion about what the nature of our investments is and what the risk is associated with them, right? In terms of, because that's what it sounds like. This isn't about whether your unfunded liabilities increase. It's what's the risk associated with them long-term. That's what LDROM.
Well, it would be a report that would show what our unfunded would be if we went with the most conservative investment strategy. So, and then if, you know, if we're going with treasuries only,
right?
And then how does that look for investment returns, and how is that going to hit our unfunded?
Right. I mean, it's not the assumed rate of return, and it's better than a mattress, right? So,
well, they did have one point that I think everybody can learn from, even in your personal investments, is how to control volatility. Don't look at your portfolio.
I just watch Warren Buffett every day in my series of videos, and I'm satisfied, and I'm much calmer. All right. Any other trustee comments? I wasn't kidding. I do. All right. We will stand adjourned until the next time. Thanks, everybody.
Good seeing everybody.
Yep.
Bye.